Amen. All right, church. Well, why don't you go ahead and have a seat? This morning, we're going to be in the book of Philippians. And so if you need a Bible, please raise your hand. Our ushers will make sure that you can follow along with us as we get into God's word. We'll be in Philippians chapter 3. All right. And if you do not have a Bible, please consider that a gift from us to you. We would love for everybody to have a copy of God's word. How many of you enjoyed the Christmas Eve service over at Dixie? Praise the Lord. What a blessing again to have that opportunity to share the Christmas story with our community and praying that people are getting connected in the different churches around the valley. And so I was able to get a few comments or text messages from other pastors that also said their services were really blessed and just God moved in powerful ways. So praise the Lord for that, right? All right. Well, once again, just a simple reminder. You know, it is a little dark in our hallways right now, but I promise you by next Sunday, it's all going to be painted. We will have lights. We did pay our bill, okay? And it will definitely, the desire of our heart is to take what we did here and have it flow into the rest of the building. And so we are blessed, again, by the donations and everybody who graciously gave for us to do that. And so we're thankful. And we're going to continue to make this place look a little bit more updated and look nice. Sound good? Yep. All right. Well, listen, if you can, last time, out of reverence for the Word of God, we're going to look at verse 12 to verse 14. If you're there, say amen with me.
Amen.
All right. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you again that we get an opportunity to get into your word. So would you help us tune in and help us to, God, not be distracted by anything, but give you this time that you could speak into our lives. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, for blessing us with the year of 2024. Lord, I thank you for the victories. I thank you for even, as hard as it sounds at times, the hardships. It's even in those times where, God, you do your greatest work and you never promised that our life would be easy here on this earth. But what you did promise is that you would walk with us, that you would be faithful and help us in those times of need. So I am thankful that you gave us this season together, a season where we could be a light within our community. And as we get ready to look forward to a brand new year, God, help us to not be content or to be in cruise control, but that we would literally give you our hearts and desire more of you. So would you open up our hearts to receive that message today? And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As we get ready to look at a small section of scripture, I want to just kind of set the stage for us, but the beginning of chapter 3, the Apostle Paul has been kind of encouraging the saints that he's writing to. This is definitely an amazing letter. For those of you who would like to know the goal for 2025, here it is. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to do my best to complete 3 books. Yeah, you can clap for that. That's a good thing. Because you know how I can stretch one verse. But we're going to complete Galatians. We're going to go into Ephesians. And then we're going to get to Philippians. And by the time we get to Philippians, it'll be January, if I mapped it out correctly, roughly about the second week of January of 2026 that we'll finish. And so I'm looking forward to it. These are three powerful books from the Apostle Paul. And then we'll more than likely hit into the book of Revelation. So we're heading there, okay? But here in chapter 3, Paul starts off by saying to the church, rejoice in the Lord. And this is important for us, especially now, because he doesn't want the church to rejoice in the things of this world. Not to say that everything in our world is bad, but what was his heart? Rejoice and be willing to grow where it matters most. Spend your energy, spend all of your desires on things that are going to matter. You know, one of the things that I'm constantly reminded of, you know, I'm not into sports anymore. And, you know, my daughter, my oldest daughter likes playing pickleball. And we went out to the court one day and I'm all like, I've never played, so go easy on me. And she was acting like she was a pro. Like there was some kind of scouts out there, you know? I'm like, you have your fun. I still won, but anyways. But there's some people who invest so much into the things of this world, and I get it. There's temporary joys. There are temporary rewards. But when it compares to what God offers in the gift of everlasting life, there's no comparison. And this is why he's encouraging these saints, rejoice in the Lord. Understand and know the blessings that you have, and don't get sucked back into the things of this world, because again, they're only temporary. And he went on to warn them about being careful about those who would want to steal that joy away. And he mentions, beware, watch out for these dogs that are out there. And for those of you who are dog lovers, Paul is not anti-dog, okay? But what he is warning us about are wild dogs. And if you've ever watched any documentaries on wild dogs that live out in the middle of nowhere, they're dangerous. They will tear you up in a heartbeat. You know, they're just really bad. He says, not only stay away from these evil workers, and he's referring to those who are false teachers, those who are coming into the church and teaching things that are not according to the scripture, those who are wanting to point you in a different direction other than Jesus. And there's some really smooth talkers out there that will take the word of God, twist the word of God, and cause other people to follow. And one of the encouragements that you're going to always hear from this pulpit or this church is this: make sure that you are studying the word of God, because when you know the truth, it is the truth that helps you detect a lie. You have to know your word in order to remember that studying the word of God means studying it in its context. You cannot pull verses out of it and create your own, you know, doctrine. That's not what God intended for us to do with his word. There's a purpose behind every letter. And when you find that main point, you understand the depth of the love that God has for you through that letter. So it's important that we, you know, avoid those who would want to steal us away and rob us of the joy, pull us away from Jesus. And then Paul went on to say, I also want to caution you with this. Don't have any confidence in the flesh. Don't boast in who you are. You know, one of the things that I marvel about this is that Paul said, if there's anybody who could boast, I'm it. He was a Jew of all Jews, followed all of the traditions, kept all of everything that was required of a Jewish person. He was one who excelled and was blameless when it came to the law that God gave. He was being brought up under one of the greatest rabbis of the day and was passing all of his peers in the knowledge of the law. He was one of those guys that was up and coming. And sure enough, he says this, I was a Pharisee. And he went on to tell people that he even actually tried to destroy God's church. That's how zealous he was for God. And yet, he said, all of those things that I've ever accomplished, he says, they're all rubbish. They're all, you know, I'm at a loss because what I thought was important compared to knowing Christ, it's like trash now. I don't want those things anymore. You know, I was blown away. I think it was yesterday. I had a little bit of downtime, and I was scrolling through some reels that somebody sent me, and then of course, you know, there was others that pop up, and there was this one, and now I got to be careful how I say this because you know who my team is in football. So pray for me. But I believe this player was on the Philadelphia Eagles. And there was a mic on the head coach. And he sat down next to the player and he's all like, hey man, you're about like 12 yards away from making a record of something. And he's all like, and I want to put you in, man. I want you to get this. And the guy who he's talking to is like, no, put other people in. Let the young bucks, let them have their fun. It's not about me. And I'm all like, that was powerful, even from a Philadelphia Eagle player. How many people are striving after those things? I mean, we just finished watching the Olympics in 2024, right? How many years do those athletes train to get to that one point? And how many of them have you ever said, oh, well, you go ahead. You know, it's all about you. They've been training. They've been dreaming about receiving a gold medal or even any medal in the Olympics. And yet, it's not about that stuff. And Paul was reminding the church, listen, all of our earthly accomplishments, yes, they're good. Yes, they're meant to help us survive. Praise the Lord if you are a CEO. Praise the Lord if you are in a high position that, you know, that you have the opportunity to influence people, but don't let that become your identity. You're first a believer in Christ before you're the CEO. And that was Paul's heart here. And so what do we take from just this little introduction? What was Paul's desire? That he might know Jesus more and experience God's working power in his life. And I think this is a great desire because what was he really wanting? The same power that was upon Jesus, that it would have been upon him. That he would have the power to say no to sin. That he would have the power to now live in that newness of life that God has given to us. That's what he wanted to have more of in his life. And so this is a good desire. And so let's go on and now let's pick up in verse 12. He says, this is what I desire to do. I want more of Jesus. But notice what verse 12 says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. In other words, I have not achieved this or reached this goal yet. I'm still lacking in this. This is what I want to do, but I haven't quite gotten there yet. I haven't arrived there. I haven't fulfilled what I just said in verses 10 and 11 about knowing Jesus more and knowing this power that God has given us. And even though God was using Paul in mighty ways, he himself was not on cruise control. You know, many times I think some of us in this room have experienced this, but when somebody who is showing some potential, maybe at work, and all of a sudden, maybe a foreman or the boss of the company acknowledges, and then they give that person a little bit more authority, a little bit more responsibility. And when that happens, sometimes people don't know how to handle it. That they end up actually, you know, having a chip on their shoulder or walking around as if they're it. Am I the only one that's ever experienced that? Okay. Thank you for raising your hand. Appreciate that. But he says, I'm not there and I'm not boasting in what God has done in my life. Paul acknowledged it's not a time for me to be on cruise control. This is not a time for me to be content with where I'm at in my relationship. But what did he want? He wanted God to keep working in his life. I want more of this. And so For the Apostle Paul, there was only one option. And what does he say? What was Paul's goal? I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. This pressing on refers to or means to move quickly toward an object, to hasten, to run, or to press forward, to strain after it. So in other words, Paul's desire was to keep moving forward in the right direction. And I want to do this without any delay. I want to do this with all of my heart. You know, it's so funny how quickly, maybe some of us grandparents and parents in the room, or even some of you young adults, I'll use the young adults because I want to pick on you guys this morning. Sometimes when some of the young adults are around here, I'll walk around and I'll say, hey, what are you guys doing? And when I say that, they're all like, oh, he's going to ask us to do something. Oh, there's another room that needs to be cleaned, or we got to empty out chairs, whatever. And sometimes I say, hey, can you help us out and, you know, take care of this? And so they're like, yeah, but I notice the walk. Yeah. But if I'm just walking up and saying, hey, what are you guys doing? What's happening? And they're all like, oh, you know, we're just here. And I'm like, you guys want to go eat? Where are we going? They liven up, right? When it comes to the Lord, like, are we ready to roll? Or are we like shrugging our shoulders? Okay, Lord. All right, I'll do this. Paul says, I'm all in on this. And I'm going to keep moving in a direction that's going to draw me closer to Jesus. I'm going to give my all to whatever it is that he's asking of me to do. I'm not going to do this half-heartedly. And when I think of what Paul is doing here, it's a good example and not only an encouragement to us, because again, his focus was to continue to grow. Where's our focus? Where are we at in our relationship with the Lord? Are we excited? Like, are you pumped up to come on Sunday morning? Or are you like, you know, I could watch it online. What is our heart and our attitude when it comes to the things of the Lord? Because if we truly understand and know the depth of what he saved us from, wouldn't it motivate us a little bit more to be excited about the things of the Lord? Wouldn't it, like, man, this has more eternal value than, so what if I hit a hole in one in a golf course? It's a pretty good achievement. But nobody's going to remember your name 5 years down the line, you know, 5 years from now. And I pray that we would see, again, Paul's focus. I'm going to set this as a goal. I'm going to press forward. I'm going to keep moving forward in that direction. And as I move forward, not only am I going in the right direction, but he says, I want to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And again, this comes back to what Paul has experienced and this amazing relationship that he had with Jesus. And he says, I want to possess this. I want to gain this in my life. How many of you have ever come across somebody who is just on fire for the Lord? When you come across people like this and you talk with them and you spend time with them, it's like almost everything has a direct reference toward what God is doing in their life or just extending God's grace and mercy toward other people. And when you come across people like that, you walk away going, man, I want some of that. You know, I'll never forget. I was standing outside one day greeting people as they were coming in and people were leaving. And this one lady, you know, an older lady came up to me and she's like, can I just tell you something? And I'm like, sure. She's like, that message. And she just kept talking about the message and I was listening to her and I'm like, can you do me a favor and just thank the Lord for that? Because that came from him. And then she's like, oh, I know you were going to say that, Pastor, but God used you. And I'm all like, okay, I get it. Yeah. But it is all about the Lord. And she's like, you're so cute. And then before she left, she kind of was like going like this to my arm. And I'm like, okay, this is not right. But anyways, I'm looking for my ushers or my pastors to come bail me out here. And then all of a sudden, she's like this. She's all like, I just want some of that on me. And I'm like, you don't want any of that on you. You don't want nothing of that at all on you. What you want is more of Jesus. And so it is one of those things that Paul is saying, I understand what God has done for me. I understand the sacrifices that Jesus made for me. I understand that he willingly died in my place. He was willing to forgive the Apostle Paul of everything that he ever did in his past. I understand the depth of what Jesus has done for me. And in the same way that God was moving in the life of Jesus while he was here on this earth, I want some of that. I want to have that in my life. In the same way that Jesus was faithful and obedient to fulfilling God's will here on this earth, Paul says, I want that. I want that so bad in my life. And he says really clearly, this is what I desire. And he goes on to verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended this, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. He says, I don't quite know how it's going to all pan out. I don't understand how it's going to work. But one thing that I am committed to doing, and he says this, forgetting those things which are behind. Many of us know the life of the Apostle Paul, and there probably is a whole lot that the Apostle Paul would have loved to have forgotten about. How about in our lives? Right? How many of us wish we could just get like a whiteboard and as easy as we get something on it and we erase it, how many of us wish we could do that with some of our past mistakes? Right? Some of us wish we could do that. But the truth is, listen, none of us can forget the things that we've done or that have happened to us. But here's what we can do. And I pray that you would listen carefully. Don't miss this. What can we do? Through God's grace, we can let them go. Don't hang on to them. Don't keep looking at them. Don't keep opening up an old wound. When I say let it go, what am I speaking of? What am I wanting to communicate? When we confess them, when we seek the Lord and seek his forgiveness for what we've done wrong, and even try to reconcile with those that we've burned a bridge with or hurt, when we're willing to make that step first, listen carefully, and then nail it to the cross, this is so important because that's why Jesus came to die, to save us, to help us have peace with God and to know that we can walk with God. And even in the process of us going through this new walk with Jesus, we're not going to be perfect. And when we do sin, it says that it separates us from God. But when we confess it, here's the beauty. God's willing to forgive. Now, it may take people a little bit longer than God to forgive, and that's understandable. People are people. But the heart behind this is that with God's help, we can move forward. With God's help, we won't allow our past to cripple us from moving in a right relationship with God. Have you ever heard anybody say, you know, maybe after an invitation, hey, would you like to come to church with me? And maybe somebody says in response, oh, I can't go to church. It'll fall down if I walk in. Like, no, it won't. We got an inspector. It's all good. Like, you don't have to worry about that. Just come. Come as you are. That's what God says. Come as you are with all of your baggage, with all of your mistakes. And what does God want us to do with them? When we come in here, leave them here. And then walk out without them. Take the backpack off of all the mistakes and burdens that you have and give them to the Lord. And one by one, God will bring you an ability not to forget, but to learn through them, to give you an opportunity to change and adjust those things so that you don't find them happening again. I believe that there's some people in this room who have been struggling with the same sin over and over and over again. And some of you are wondering, God, why am I not changing? Well, maybe you're just saying, Lord, forgive me, and then you're ending your prayer. But the true heart behind repentance is not just saying, Lord, I'm sorry, but it's also asking him to help you to forsake, to turn away from what you just did. God, help me to see those boundaries. Help me to see those things that I need to get rid of in my life. If I'm having a problem with pornography, Lord, give me a dumb phone. Don't give me a smartphone. If I'm having problems, and listen, I'm going to just speak truth. This is real. It's not just men who are having problems with pornography, it's women. The percentages are getting higher and higher each year. And you find yourself maybe struggling with that, and you keep asking, forgive me, forgive me. Yes, that's a great thing. That's the first step. But then start asking God another one. God, would you help me to cut away from those things, cut away from those areas, cut away from looking at anything at 10 o'clock at night, or remove my computer out of my bedroom. Start asking God to give you those practical things that you can do to cut it off. True repentance is going to start with us not only saying, God, I'm sorry, but then taking those necessary steps to avoid making those same sins over again. Those are the things that I want us to understand and know about forgiveness or forgetting the past. Listen, the other thing that is important for us to remember about forgiveness is this. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a powerful verse. Don't cheapen God's grace here by just saying, well, all I have to do is confess and I'm good. Remember what I just said. No, there's more to it. When we confess and we come with God, not justifying what we did wrong, not blame shifting, but owning it. God, the first person that I've sinned against is you. Own it. And then when we make that mistake, now we need to seek reconciliation with other people. But notice what it says, God will be faithful and just. He'll forgive us, but understand this as well. There will be some consequences to what we just committed, what we just did. He will be just in that. But the other thing that is important, it says here that he will then cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? That he'll pick us up, wipe us clean from the sin and the dirt and the gunk that we got ourselves into. And then he'll pick us up and put us right where we belong in a right relationship with him, being at peace with him once again, not allowing that sin to separate us, but he brings us back to where we rightfully belong. That's how awesome our God is. And so not only that, but I would encourage you to take down these verses or this other verse, Psalm 103, verse 12. It speaks about as far as the east is from the west. So God chooses. He chooses. He knows of every single one of our wrongdoings. But he chooses not to bring them back up. He forgives them. It's a done deal when you say, Lord, forgive me, when it's done with a sincere heart. And so this was what Paul had a desire to do, let go of the past. But then he says, as I let go of this, now what is my goal? To reach forward to those things that are ahead. Again, understanding the focus of Paul to grow in his relationship with the Lord, to stay as close to Jesus as possible, to serve the Lord with everything that is within him. And Paul, if anybody, had an amazing testimony of a person who was sold out for Jesus, he's it. Three missionary journeys. church plants throughout all of the different areas that he went to. Persecuted, flogged, thrown in prison, under house arrest. No matter what he experienced, he never gave up. I think, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, but the only other person that I've ever discovered in the time of me studying God's word who had a rough life, almost as rough as the Apostle Paul, was Joseph. Beat up by his own brothers, betrayed, became a slave, falsely accused of trying to rape his master's wife, thrown into prison, forgotten about. And then later in life, he would become the most second powerful person of all Egypt. And yet, their hearts, from Joseph to the Apostle Paul, were all in their relationship with God. And so, I'm pressing forward in this. I see Paul understanding, I know God's redemption plan. I know what he did. I know the ultimate gift that he's given is everlasting life. The biggest thing that I believe Paul had a right concept of, this place is not my home. This place, I'm just traveling through. And I'm pretty sure many of us understand this. When we know we're going on vacation, well, not all of us, because I don't always do this, but my wife does. If we're going on vacation, she starts planning about 4 or 5 months ahead. Me, I pack the night before. My wife will look at Yelp reviews. She will know where to go eat. She'll know tours that she wants to do. I don't know if she emails a few of them and asks them personally, what was it like? You know, she might. But she does all the research. I'm just a happy camper. Where do I go next? Even if we went, if you tried to go to the most happiest place in the world, Disneyland, you prepare for that. You do a lot of stuff beforehand. You find out where the fast track passes are and what's the best option. You do your research. How many of us are doing that about heaven? How many of us know that Jesus is coming back? And if we know that Jesus is coming back, what are we doing about it? Are we the type of believer that says, I'm cool with the Lord. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm good. I know I'm going to heaven. If that's you, I hope and pray that today that changes. Because remember, the gospel is meant to be shared with everybody, not to be kept a secret. God has a desire for everybody to know who he is. And so, when I think of all of this, Paul is saying, I know where I'm going and I'm preparing for it. I'm not only preparing for it, but I know the greatest reward, the greatest prize is to be with God for all eternity. I'm keeping my heart and my mind set on that goal. That's the direction I'm going. That's what I want for my life. You know, throughout the course of us as a church, there's certain things, phrases that God gives us, certain songs that God gives us as a church. But for me personally, this year, God has really been ministering to me through a song. And I just want to read the lyrics to you really quick because I believe this is in line with what Paul is saying here. But the song's called More Like Jesus. It's by Passion. I'm not advocating for them. I'm not asking you to go buy it. This is what ministered to me. But I want to just read the first few verses. Listen to this. You came to the world you created, trading your crown for a cross. You willingly died. Your innocent life paid the cost. Counting your status as nothing, the King of all kings came to serve, washing my feet and covering me with your love. When did Jesus do that? When did Jesus do this for us? We just celebrated it a few days ago. That he willingly came into this world, fulfilling this song to a T. Here's the chorus. If more of you means less of me, take everything. Is that our heart today? When we consider the depth and love that God poured out upon us, now that we know what God did for us, taking upon flesh and coming into this world, becoming that substitutionary atonement for us, now that we know the truth of what God did for us, are we here to say, God, take all of me? I understand. And even if we don't understand, I want to understand. I want to grow more in that. Let me read the closing verse. You are my life and my treasure, the one that I can't live without. Here at your feet, my desires and dreams I lay down. Catch that one more time. Here at your feet, my desires and dreams I lay down. This song has like been my anthem when I'm driving in before I preach. In those times when I'm just maybe discouraged that I'll throw this on. This is probably one of my top songs of 2024 that I've played, other than Trust in the Lord or Trust in God. But this is what Paul is saying. I understand all this and I'm still wanting to learn more, but I'm all in when it comes to my relationship with the Lord. And so what does verse 14 lead us? And we're going to end with, I press toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is a beautiful, beautiful challenge for us as we get ready to close 2024. And this morning, what is our takeaway? What is it that I want us to walk away from with this message? Now that we've heard Paul's heart, so what? What does it mean for us? And Paul, again, sharing his heart's desire and his goals. I want to know Jesus more, and I want to experience the power of God working in my life. That was Paul's heart. But how about for you and me? When you look at 2024, the year that God has just given us, can I encourage us with this one thing? Let's thank him. Let's thank God for his faithfulness in our lives. And you might be thinking, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've gone through. And you're absolutely correct. I don't. But God does. And if you're willing to turn to him and seek him, the scriptures say he's willing to be there and help you. He's willing to come along your side if you're willing to allow him to. And what I think is important through all of it, let's come to God with the heart of gratitude and let's thank him once again for the blessings and even the hardships. Because it's in those hardships that God can do his greatest work. But what else do I want us to do? What are your goals for 2025? What are some of the things that you would desire of the Lord? What are some of those things that maybe you have a hunger to know more of? And if so, write them down. I want to challenge you. Let's not just go through 2025 with the same heart and attitude of 2024. God wants to do something new in you. Why don't we ask the Lord, what is it? What do you desire of me for 2025? And so I want to encourage us to make sure that we ourselves don't put it on cruise control, because we are living in a time right now where true followers of Christ need to shine. We need to be alive, joyful. We need to have a passion and a love that people, when they see us, they know we belong to the Lord. These are the things that we want the world to see in and through us. So it's not a time for us to be content. It's not a time, again, to put it on cruise control. But what new thing do you want to experience with God in 2025? I pray that it would be something along as growing in your own personal relationship with Jesus. In what ways? You will hear this all the time. Get into the Word. And this, again, I'm not preaching at you. This is a challenge for me as well. Growing in your personal relationship with the Lord requires you to pick up your Bible. If you haven't committed to doing this, I want to challenge you with this. It's awesome to read the whole Bible in a year. But we're not here to be legalistic about it. What if you committed to just reading the New Testament in this year? Or the Old Testament, whichever you want. What if you committed throughout this whole year just to read the letters in red in your Bible? Everything that Jesus ever said, pick one. Again, we're not here to be legalistic, but just get into the Word. So as individuals, grow in getting into the Word. How about couples? Are you getting into the Word together? Husbands, it is our responsibility as men, as the spiritual leaders of our home, to lead our wives spiritually. Are we getting into the Word together? Again, I am not preaching at you. This is for me as well. How about families? Are you reading the Word of God to your kids before they go to bed or when they wake up or at dinner time? Are you sharing those things of the Lord? Listen, it blesses me when my grandkids come over and they know TV doesn't go on. They know, don't bring your Switch over unless Papa wins. And if we're going to play a video game, it's going to either be Pac-Man or Mario Karts. That's it. Nothing else. Because many of you already know Pac-Man's the spiritual game, right? But what blesses me when they come over, all right, it's dinner, it's lunch, it's breakfast. And a couple of them will say, I'll pray. And they put their little hands together and Marisa and I just sit back and we're like, this is awesome. Are we teaching our kids that? Are we helping them understand how important it is to even pray now? How about praying even though it's not mealtime? When family, you need to make a decision, include your family in it so they can pray with you. Listen, I want to challenge you. Get into the Word more than you did. Even if it's one more verse than you did in 2024, praise the Lord, that's a victory. Don't be legalistic about it, but just commit. Get into the Word. How about prayer? How about if we commit to praying more in 2025 than we did in 2024? Listen, I want to encourage you. I want to invite you to do this. I'm going to entitle this, it's a big fancy word, or no, not fancy word, but I think it's pretty cool. If you don't, just agree with me and say amen. Prayer and fasting that we commit once a month. I'm going to challenge you with this. There's a sign-up sheet that's going to be available to you at the Connection Center at the end of the service. On top of that sign-up sheet, it's going to have this title, PF435. What does it stand for? Prayer and fasting. What does the 435 stand for? Our area code here in St. George. Now listen, what am I challenging you with this? What if on the day that we've committed as a church to pray and fast, that we would have a 24-hour prayer chain going on that day? And on that sign-up sheet, there are two slots every half hour for you to sign up. Pray. Commit to praying on that one day for, you don't have to pray for a full half hour. If you can, praise the Lord. Some of you may be at work when you commit to praying, but you can pray with your eyes open. You can go to the bathroom and pray, however you want to do it. But sign up, be a part of it. Commit to praying for your family, for the church, for our city, our nation, and once again, that the gospel will go out into the world. it would be a good challenge for us to spend more time praying. And a church that prays is a church that I believe God's going to move mightily in. Listen, there are so many different ways, again, growing spiritually. I want to challenge you also with this. Join a life group. Join a men's or a women's Bible study. They're all happening throughout the year. How about this? Take one of the foundation classes that we offer. Grow in the essentials of our faith. Grow in evangelism. Grow in studying in the Word of God. We have these things available. We don't just put them on the calendar so that we can say, look what we do. They're meant for all of us to grow. Now here's my last encouragement to us, and that is this. Serve. Get plugged in. For whatever reason, if you didn't have an opportunity to serve in 2024, let's serve in 2025. There's a place here for you. We have an opportunity because everybody has a spiritual gift. And that spiritual gift, not only will you bless, listen, it'll be a blessing for you to grow in that gifting that God's given you, but it will also bless somebody else in this fellowship. This is one of our core verses of our church, that we would help raise up, build up the body of Christ, that we would equip the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. It's not just meant for us to do here. This is our learning ground, our training ground. Because as you develop in your gifting here, then where does God want you to eventually use it? Outside of this building. We have a soup kitchen that goes to Switchpoint, thank you. We have youth groups going over to Utah Food Bank and storing food. We have people going into the prison to minister to the prisoners and those who are detained. We have people doing house visits and hospital visits, and we have people who are part of a meal train when somebody gets hurt or somebody has a baby that we as the body of Christ pull together. If you love cooking, there's a ministry that would love to have you. You love praying for people, we can send you the emails that we receive and you can pray in the comfort of your own home for people. There are so many different ways that you can get plugged into this fellowship to use the giftings that God has given you, but it's on you. We open up the door. Are you willing to walk through it? Are you willing to let God use you? Are you willing to, again, grow in your relationship with the Lord? And if so, we have a brand new year getting ready to start. And it would be awesome. It would be a privilege to serve alongside of you, arm in arm, serving our community, serving our family here, and serving the Lord together. Amen? Amen? Amen. I'm going to call the worship team up. Father, I want to thank you so much for this day, and I want to thank you again for the sweet reminder of the possibilities that we have of growing in you, that there are different ways that we can do this, and we just need to take steps of faith. We need to take those steps in the right direction to press forward in our own relationship with you. And so, Lord, would you prompt us? Would you remind us of this study this morning, that you would help us see that the greatest gift we could ever give to our family, to any ministry that we're a part of, or even our jobs, is our own personal relationship with you. Because when we fall in love with you, you are the one that helps us to give people Jesus and not ourselves. So Lord, bless us this day with that. Give us the ability to have, Lord, an amazing journey of being not only as close to you as possible, but staying, abiding, Lord, connecting with you on an everyday basis. May your word come to life for us and captivate us and draw us to living out your word. May you empower us today to say no to sin and to turn away from those things that would hinder us or pull us away. That you would, again, put desires in our hearts that will be to see your kingdom being built. And as a church, Lord, we desire to honor you, to serve you, to live for you within this community, that we are here together at this specific time. So Lord, there's a lot of things that we desire to do, but we pray that you would give us a hunger, more than just a desire, but a hunger that we would move in that right direction to accomplish them. And as our heads are bowed this morning, I just pray for anybody here. Maybe you're, again, not sure about what it means to walk with the Lord and the things that I shared this morning. I just want you to know this: God loves you. And if you have tried to have a right relationship with God and maybe there's something missing in your life that you don't quite understand, it may be the simple response of believing that Jesus is the one who paid the price for our sins. To understand the depth that God loved us, to come up a cure for us to not sin anymore, but also the ability for us to be forgiven and also connect, be reconciled back to God. Until we do that step, what we do is in our own strength and our own effort, and it won't amount to anything. God's grace has been poured out, and we have an opportunity to be at peace with God. And if this is you this morning, I want to encourage you again that God loves you and he wants to spend eternity with you. He has a gift for you. And in order to receive it, we need to confess. We need to get right with God. We need to deal with our sin issue. And once we do that, God's willing to come into our life and help us each day to live for him. And if this is you, right where you're at, as everyone's heads are bowed, eyes are closed, this is a moment between you and God. If you desire to be right with God and that you have your sins forgiven, that you would not face that penalty of being eternally separated from him, I want to encourage you, slip up your hand, and it would be an honor to lead you in prayer. I see your hand toward the back. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? I see your hand here in the far right to me. In the center, I see your hand. Anyone else? Praise the Lord, back there in the back once again. Off to my left, praise the Lord. Beloved church, this is an amazing thing that God is moving and speaking and touching hearts right before our eyes. This is what we desire. This is what we pray for, that many more would come into that saving knowledge of who Jesus is. Anyone else? One more minute. God, thank you for the hands that were raised, and I pray that today you would continue to work and move in all of our lives, but specifically for those who raised their hand, I want to encourage you. You're making the best decision ever. And before we make this opportunity for you to pray, I want to just share this one last thing. Even if your hand wasn't raised and you still want to pray, you can. It's not your hand that saves you. It's your heart. Your heart getting right with God. So if you would still like to pray this, you're more than welcome to. But for those who did raise their hand and anyone else, repeat this prayer with me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. I've learned today that he died for my sins. So God, I come before you and I confess that I've sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? I believe by faith in Jesus' death and his resurrection. I believe by faith that my sins can be forgiven, that I can be at peace with God, and that from this day forward, God, you will teach me your ways. Jesus, thank you for dying for me and for saving me. God, here's my heart. May your will be done in and through me. So once again, teach me your ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, I want to encourage you, for those of you who prayed this morning, we're going to have a pastor over here off to my left, whether it's Pastor Guy or Pastor Josh, they'll be coming up very shortly, and they'll have an opportunity to give you a Bible. They're going to pray for you before you leave. If you come forward, it doesn't mean that you're a member of our church. Please understand, we don't have membership here. We welcome everybody to come. What we have a desire to do is just give you a right start in this relationship with God. They're going to show you, again, where to read, give you some encouraging steps, pray for you, and then you'll be on your way. But we want to just make sure that you're set up for victory as you leave, because the enemy will want to try and deceive you into not following through with this commitment that you have just prayed. So we want to set you up in a way that's going to lead to victory. Other than that, I want to invite everybody to stand on up. If you need prayer after the service, we're going to have a prayer team up here that will pray for you and encourage you. And listen, if you set off any fireworks on New Year's Eve, keep all the fingers, okay? It's important. Don't hurt yourself. Enjoy. We have a new year before us. When we come back on the 5th, two services, 9:30, 11:30, and I will have a New Year's message for us as well. And then the following week, we'll get back into our study in Galatians. God bless you all. Love you. Have a blessed day.